Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey, this is Richard Marks, the host of Song Talks, right here on Podcast One. Every week, I will explore the impact music has on our lives through interviews with singers, songwriters, and other amazing guests about the classic songs that have impacted them. Check out Song Talks every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Sean Gunn. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, just a small town girl living in a lonely world, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Journey. It's, God damn it, I've heard so much Journey in my life. But, all right, now I'm in a bad mood. See what you did, Dawson? Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, big on mandate. Get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Good day, Bald Brian.
I may not be here when you get out of your next podcast because I'll be getting a haircut.
Brian, why are you making things worse?
Yeah.
It's already bad.
Yeah. Garrett, first I want to thank a doghouse. That's HAUS. .com for delivering some delectable burgers and hot dogs over here. We just had a great time.
Don't undersell it by saying delectable. They were kind of works of art.
And they even have lettuce wrapped
hot dogs. I feel like delectable is pretty high up on the culinary food chain.
You can get dirt on their feet by saying they're delectable.
Well, it's delicious and delightful.
I've seen lettuce wrapped hamburgers, sure. A lettuce wrapped hot dog in a perfectly bun-shaped bun? That was awesome.
All right. Lots to complain about, as per usual. So I said this. So Gary's not around today. And people, there's been a little change in the wind. Gary's at a bachelor party. So the thing.
Probably should make too many jokes because I'm going to miss the first half of the next show from a bachelor party.
Well, it's interesting. But that's, you're leaving on what day and coming back on what day?
I'm leaving tomorrow, Friday, the day people hear this, Friday, and coming back. The first flight I can get from Memphis, which has a connection, will get me in just in time to make the show.
Well, so I said to Max Zapata, or actually he said, oh no, I said, when did bachelor parties turn into 4-day affairs? And he said, I don't know. They used to just be one night.
Yeah. And go to a bar.
There was one night.
Before the wedding.
Right. Yeah. There was the night. You just go out to a strip club or whatever it is, get a big suite in a hotel and hire some girls or whatever you did. But the bachelor party was rarely, it was one night. And then at some point, it became a weekend because people started going to Vegas and Tahoe or wherever they went. They traveled around. But he said, but I don't remember when it turned into 3 or 4 days. And here's how it spilled into 3 or 4 days. A whole new breed of cat who did not mind telling his boss, I need Thursday and Friday off. I'm going to a bachelor party. Mm-hmm. Because that didn't exist when I was a working stiff. You couldn't go to your boss and go. You could go to your boss and pretend you were sick and get out of that Friday. But you couldn't say, I'm not going to be around Thursday, Friday, next week, I'm going to a bachelor party.
I'm
going to
make
it
rain.
That's not an acceptable discussion to have with the boss.
And I assume it's equally unacceptable in this ethos that there are personal days or vacation days that you could take to go to a bachelor party.
No.
Okay.
Well, what do you say, Brian?
I'm saying if someone's like, I'm going to take, take a vacation.
Are you getting on the point at the beginning?
It's a straight. Okay.
Are you?
It's a strange thing that you have to go to the boss to be like, in certain situations, you definitely do. This situation for construction, certain things where it's hourly or you're needed seasonally. But like for most, like, you know, regular employees would take like a vacation day or a personal day, right?
Yeah, but I appreciate that. But what I'm saying is the reason they have spilled into multi-days is because you could say to the boss, I'm taking these days off. And you usually say, here's where I'm. This is why. Mm-hmm. You have
taken mom to the hospital.
We have personal days. You have sick days. I'm not saying you can't use those. And I'm not saying you can't fold that into this. But the conversation of I'm not going to be here specifically for bachelor party was never had.
Bachelor party was never the fill in the blank of I'm not going to be here because.
Wasn't part of the Mad Lib.
No.
Yes. No, people wouldn't be comfortable having that conversation.
Okay.
Because you would be thought of a certain way by your employer. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
All right. Do you agree with it?
I do.
Okay.
I totally agree with it because I have been a bridesmaid 3 times and I've successfully gotten out of 3 bachelorette parties because I hate bachelorette parties.
You
kind of have to go though, don't you? If you're in the wedding party?
No, I did not. Right. I don't like forced fun. To me, that's what it feels like.
Somebody's on a train to his bachelor party in Vegas?
Oh,
perfect. Bryce.
What train? Where's this from Utah? Like, where's this train coming from? Bryce?
Yes.
31?
Hello.
What's going on?
Yes, that's me. I hopped on a train in San Diego, and I'm actually going to L.A. to see my brother.
Oh.
And then we're going up to Vegas for my bachelor party.
This
makes sense now, because we've been trying to build this train from L.A. to Vegas since I was in high school, and we can't get it done.
There's no rail within a 300-mile radius of Las Vegas.
Right.
I've heard of that on the show. I'm from San Diego. I work in New York, but I'm back home. Visited the family. I'm going up to Vegas with my brother today, and I just want to know what the Ace Man thinks I should do as a guy that's about to get married up in Vegas.
Oh, you're the groom.
I am the groom.
It's his bachelor party.
Okay, so it's your bachelor party.
Don't invite Gina. Expect her to show up.
You're going to L.A.
I'll work it.
Yeah, I'm currently on the train to LAX station. I guess Union Station.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You want to go across the street and get a French dip over at Felipe's over there.
Felipe's the original.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's
a good start. I was trying to look up Langners.
You're trying to what?
I was trying to look up Langners. I was watching Langer's show the other night.
Oh, Langer's.
It's Echo Park border.
It's not right there, but it's if you got the time.
Yeah. Delhi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. This is what I'm talking about is walk across the street.
Oh, better. Okay.
Literally cross the street. And then, if you look to your left, once you cross the street, you'll see Alvera Street. But you can also just look in any direction and see Mexicans wandering around and shit being sold out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, this is a more concentrated version.
Yeah, it's the Disney-fied version.
Yeah.
Can we get rid of Alvera Street? Is there any every street in Van Nuys is Alvera Street. Like, there is no reason to have a slice of old Mexico in the middle of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is New Mexico, and we don't need... It's like, it's Mexican food, it's junk being sold out front of stores, it is the San Fernando Valley. All right.
So don't go there, Bryce.
Yes.
I was just saying, like, being away from San Diego for so long in New York, like, having Mexican food all over the street sounds like a fantastic idea to me.
You don't need, again, like, when I grew up and I was a kid, you'd have to go to Alvera Street because that would be, some Mexican food. And get some authentic Mexican food. Now there's trucks that are signed to every Los Angelino that follows them around making tacos. All right. So, Bryce, the bachelor party.
Yes.
Where are you guys staying?
We're staying at the Vidara Hotel.
Excuse me.
Which is connected to the Cosmopolitan.
It's very nice.
Nice. Yeah. I've never even been there.
Is that the one that does not have a casino in the lobby?
Yeah.
I believe it's just a hotel that's like connected to the Cosmopolitan.
It's very nice.
It's curved.
The minimum at the table is very expensive.
All right. And what's the plan so far?
I mean, we're getting there today, and the whole crew gets there tomorrow, and we have kind of a free day. Like, I don't know, drink 40s on the street, or I want to get a little bit of advice of maybe something we should do that's like maybe crazy, something that is not just going to a club, getting completely hammered, and talking to girls I can't touch, you know?
Mm-hmm. I haven't been to a strip club in a while. Is everyone tatted up? Because I'm not happy about that.
From the last time I went to a strip club, yes.
I don't like that.
Well, everyone, 85%, the vast majority.
Mm. So, Bryce?
Yes.
You can take a pilgrimage way off the strip and find the recording studio we used to do crank anchors at and just dump a little of your 40 on the ground in front of the strip mall.
What about the site where Kimmel lost his virginity?
Oh, that was the parking lot of like the Hi-Ho or something. Oh,
the Golden Nugget or something?
No, it was one of the little, the Continental or something, like one of these little ones, like wherever the residency, the house band was Cookie Jar and the Crumbles. I'm not making that up. You find Cookie Jar and the Crumbles. He may still be maybe going strong. Yeah, I mean, that was...
Well, I can find
Jimmy
that
and I stayed in that place with Big Tad and his brother all in the same room. And guess who snores? Yeah, Cookie Jar and the Crumbs. Yeah. Big Tad snores insanely. His brother is even louder than him, and Jimmy will give them both a run for their money. And then there's me. I was just staring at the ceiling the entire night while three big dudes just sawed logs. All right.
You know what a lot of dudes do?
That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever done it, but a lot of dudes like to go to Vegas and go to the gun range, shoot some Tommy guns, shoot some stuff that you would never be able to shoot anywhere else.
Oh, yeah,
that's
I did.
That's kind of fun.
I did do that. I did go to Vegas. We did go outside of Vegas, and you can fire. Like, at some point, they go, this is the 88 Magnum. And you're like, what is this? It is basically a Gatling gun from the Civil War. We took one barrel, and we load it with black powder.
John Dillinger himself.
We shove a cannonball at the end of it, and it's got some kick. Now, there's no trigger. We use a road flare. Hold steady.
Grab one out of this broom.
And it's
watch
just,
your fingers.
It's just kind of this weird thing. It's kind of like having, like, seeing who can finish off a 77-ounce steak or something. You'll not enjoy your experience. You may hurt. You may injure yourself, but you can say you did it.
Like, get your picture on a wall somewhere.
They'll take a gun that is so massive that when you fire it, it'll knock you into the back center block wall, but they'll go, this is good. And I'm always sort of like, well, give me the one I can control, and let me see if we can do some target practice here. Anyway, but I do like your gun thing.
Yeah, that's fun.
And
that's pretty solid advice.
Call me old-fashioned or something, but I have never taken one of those tours of the Grand Canyon where they get in the airplane and you're the helicopter or whatever it is. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, the nighttime stuff will take care of itself. The gambling, the boozing, the clubs, the strip clubs, the dinners, and all that kind of stuff. But I'd hit the gun range and check out the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, and they have those Jeep tours out to the Grand Canyon, too.
You ready?
I mean,
you good?
That's Bryce? Pretty good, because I'm a chef in New York, so the steak, we do that all the time. So it's done. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
All right. What's the best steak, Bryce?
The best steak in New York?
Well, just the best
Peter
cut.
Best cut of beef.
Oh, Peter Luger, you say?
Oh, Peter Luger's. I mean, I always go dry age ribeye. It always has the most fat. It's so good.
So ribeye. I say, every time I sit there, I'm like a newborn. Where you want the ribeye, you want the filet, you want the New York strip, and I'm like, I can't remember which one
garbage.
I want.
Filet's terrible.
Filet,
I don't get the filet.
No fat on it.
Bryce, help me out here. The porterhouse is a combination. It's a filet in a New York?
Yeah, it's on one side you have the filet. Yeah. You know, strip.
I feel like I don't see the porterhouse that
it's
much.
So much.
Big.
All right, go with the ribeye. Thanks, Bryce.
All right, thank
Mazel tov.
Yes, enjoy. All right, let's see. What is the best? Paul last parking ticket. The Vegas guy. Back to Vegas.
Back
got
to
the
Vegas.
Neighbor.
Bryce, when you get to Vegas, look up this guy.
His
name
you should do.
His neighbor is a parking enforcement guy, and he wrote him a ticket. So
in front of his own house.
In front of his own house. Mike?
Ace, man, what's happening, bud?
Another man. How'd it go? So last we left off, you got this ticket. It had this guy's name on it.
Yep.
So we know it's him.
Yes, we do. And as much as I wanted to get some street justice and go Cabretti on this guy, I decided to be smarter about it. So I'm a plumber out here in Las Vegas, and I know that all houses, at least in my neighborhood, have something called a clean-out for their sewer line.
This is street justice.
Okay, so this is basically access for a plumber to go in there anytime that the drain gets backed up. You can drop a snake in there and clear it out.
Yeah, that is it's a big square drive normally when it's ABS pipe. It's on the outside of the house, and you can undo it and access it.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're looking at something that's not what I'm describing. But anyway, thanks, Max.
Who dropped a bag of sand into your cloud valve?
Yeah.
But, this is sewer justice.
Yeah, so what'd you do?
Well, I wanted to pour concrete down there, but I figured that might be a step too far. So what I did is I got a bag of potatoes, and I dropped them down there one by one. I probably put a good 4 or 5 potatoes in this kind of clean out.
Good.
It gets even sweeter. It gets even sweeter because...
Sweeter than that?
Yes, it does. So the following morning, I'm going out to my truck, and I see a Rooter van out in front of his house.
Yeah.
And it's in the drain, and him standing there with his arms crossed. Mm-hmm. So I figured, perfect opportunity. Let me go up to this guy. So I walked up to him. I'm like, hey, you know I'm a plumber, right? And I handed him a business card. Next time, call me. And I'm not sure if he had any idea, but it was just perfect.
Worked out perfect.
I love that.
He walks away eating a French fry.
I'm in love with that. Thank you, Mike. That's my idea of justice minus fisticuffs. I got to tell you, the most confounding thing that ever happened to me, if you want to just ruin someone's life.
Listening.
Go on.
I was looking at Philip the Juggler, tragically passed a few years ago, had a big, like a pit bull. What do they call them? Brindles?
Brindles the color, yeah.
Yeah, the color. But big. It was this massive dog. Sweet, sweet dog named Mocha. I haven't thought of Mocha in a million years. And Philip was going out of town doing like Andy Williams on the road or something. And he asked if he could keep Mocha with me at my rented house in North Hollywood with my, three roommates or whatever. And that's fine. So he dropped it off. And it's a one bathroom house. And at a certain point, the bathroom, the toilet backed up. And so because everyone in the house is poor, but we're all like in the trades, we're like, all right, let's unblock it. So I think we got first went up to the roof and put the hose into the air gap or the breather. And we pumped the hose water, trying to like blow it out. Like it wouldn't do it. And then went and like rented a auger, like a sort of like a snake, and like pushed it into the bowl, and we're like turning and pushing it, and couldn't get it. We think the toilet bowl has a trap built into it. So underneath your sink is a trap. It makes that U.
Right, yeah.
That U is to trap water and not let air from the sewer get back into your house.
Vapor.
It's a vapor. So it makes like a water vapor block. And that's why sometimes if you go into a house, like if you have multiple bathrooms and there's some bathroom you never use and it's been a year or something like that, it'll smell weird because the water evaporated in the trap and the sewer is leaking up in there. So you don't want to, or sometimes we did this with Catch a Contractor all the time. They remove the whole bathroom sink, and they say they're going to remodel the kitchen and the bathroom, and they leave the pipe open to the wall. Now, there's no trap, because the trap's removed. But what they do is they just shove a sock in there, or they put a piece of duct tape over the top of it or something. But they would just leave it open, and like you'd have contractors going, I put a piece of duct tape over it, and you go, well, where is it? Someone must have removed it. Like, I must have taken it off. It's like elderly woman and special needs son. Like, they came in and just removed the duct tape that was blocking off the thing with the sewer gases. Yeah, I put it there.
That's what most non-trained plumbers do.
Right. So we went at it with an auger, couldn't do anything. Then eventually just went, all right, I'm unbolting the toilet. Now, I brought up the dog Mocha, but at this point, I have no idea that Mocha has anything to do with this toilet because it's just a one bathroom and dogs don't use the toilet. Mocha's like in the backyard sleeping. And then I pull the toilet off and we start going down the main drain and we still can't. Eventually, I think we turn the toilet over. This was a wonderful Saturday. By the way, this is what happens when you volunteer to watch people's dogs. Mocha had a hard blue rubber ball, almost kind of like a handball. And that was her chew ball. And Mocha went to get a sip out of the toilet and dropped the ball. And the ball went out of sight, up in, and wedged into the into this built-in trap in the toilet. And when we shoved our auger into it, all we did was mash it up further, completely out of sight, completely mashed in. And there was no other, we couldn't figure anything out, and we had to tear the whole place apart. But anyway, that was Mocha. Good dog. God rest his paws.
Can I ask you something about that? I didn't, A, I never really thought about it, and B, I, whatever. Sometimes when we turn our faucet on, either in the bathroom or in the shower, it smells kind of sewage-y. Mm-hmm. What's wrong? It's in the house.
Turn it on.
I don't know where it's coming from, but I was like, is the water kind of sewage? But I think it's coming from the drain.
Yeah. I think... It shouldn't be from the drain because the drain, the water shouldn't make it smell that way from the drain because the water's just filling up the trap more.
Okay.
I don't know.
Shit.
Yeah, you're activating something. All right. Let me.
I'll clean my black suit.
Let me get through. let me get through this. wrong line. Sorry. Hey, John, 42, Cleveland.
Hey. Adam, how are you?
What's going on?
Thank you, sir. So, you know, ESPN's laying off all these people, 100. There were more announced today even. And
I heard about that.
My theory, sports ratings are down double digits this year and over the last couple of years. So my theory is you've got a generation coming up that was raised not to care about competition. So why would they want to watch sports on television?
Hot take.
Now, hold on. Let me ask Gary. He's doing he's at a bachelor party. He's doing push-ups in the back again.
He's a huge sports fan, too, ironically.
Punching the cinder block wall, trying to toughen up his knuckles, but
no.
He's on a boat somewhere.
There are places
I don't... Maybe, but no. Look, I will tell you this. Sorry about the non-yes and, but I have a 10-year-old son, and he has a whole bunch of 10 and 11-year-old friends who are insane for sports. Insane. They've memorized. My son knows as many NBA players as Bill Simmons does. Like, he starts throwing out, he's constantly configuring his top five,
his
top 10.
In the D League. He's like, oh, he's coming up. He's a tough man, but, you know, watch out next year.
He's got, he does, and everything. And they're knee deep into it, but it's all done on their phone, right. Nobody's watching. The word SportsCenter never comes out of their mouth.
No.
It's all about the players. It's all about the games. It's all about the this. It's all about the that.
Why would you wait till 8 o'clock at night to watch the highlights for an hour?
Yeah. They're as into it. Now, I agree, they're playing flag football instead of the NFL, but my son is explaining to me that he's kind of jonesing for the NFL. Like, the basketball season is fine, but he can't wait to get around the NFL. So
the filet is okay, but give me that ribeye.
Yeah. This is a whole group of sort of... all right. Here we go there, John. The guys who know the least about sports are the guys who play sports.
That's true.
I cannot tell you how many guys, like, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson, and you'd go, how about the other LT? Who? Lawrence Taylor. Like,
what team did he play running back for?
Yeah, he played running back. Is he in the league? Like, your head would explode because you think, I'll tell you this. Race car drivers know nothing about cars. They're not really gearheads. If you ask them what size engines in their Indy car, the Formula One car, they're like, I don't know. The guys do that. I race. You know, that's who they are. I'll bet you jockeys hate horses. You ever heard of a giant? When have you seen a really short Latin guy, like, with his horse, like, petting it, giving it a carrot and stuff? They whip it with a stick.
What kind of horse is that? A brown one?
They beat the crap out of them with sticks. That's what they do while they ride them and then get more money. That's all they do.
They're going to profit off their abuse.
It's basically Uber for midgets. It's no different. It's exactly the same. It's Uber for midgets. They're just getting around. So, jockeys don't like horses, race car drivers don't know anything about cars, and aren't necessarily gearheads. Like, the biggest gearheads in the world that I know don't race cars. They collect cars, and they know every... Jay Leno will not race a car, but Jay Leno knows everything about cars. Now, my son is probably not going to be a terrific athlete, but he will know everything, right. And Bill Simmons knows everything. He's not a great basketball player. He knows everything. So... I always knew there was the jock and the nerd. The nerd kept all the stats, knew all the names, and all the jock just played. That was their
didn't have time to learn the
deal.
Names.
So I think there'll be more. there's going to be more people knowing more names and having more information, but it's going to be fed to them in real time through their phone. Yeah. And ESPN will have to do what, you know, Netflix did, which is we can't take a DVD and put it in the mail and send it to you anymore. We're going to have to reinvent ourselves. Yes.
But point crafting is kind of my domain, so I'll take it from here. John, I it's interesting.
Well, now the expert's on the job.
Well, it's an interesting theory, but I have read a little bit about this, and ESPN is having a hard time keeping up with all the cord cutting, all the people getting rid of their cable packages and dish packages and stuff, and they charge one of the highest or the highest subscription rates, so it's becoming untenable for a lot of carriers and people to subscribe to them, and as such, people are getting their highlights online, watching stuff online, such and such.
Well, wasn't the Super Bowl on Twitter live? Like,
I
things
guess.
Like that.
The cord cut.
Monday football, you know, Thursday football's online on Twitter.
The movement that was the home phone versus the cell phone is now going on with the TV set, which is the cord was cut on the home phone. 4 years ago, I was marveling that none of the kids around here was... had a home phone. They were just like, we need a home phone. And I was like, you need a home phone. I was like, Chris, you don't have a phone. Matt, you don't have a home phone. Somebody send Gary a text. He's at a bachelor party. Find out if he has a home phone. It was just a coincidence. It's about right about 4 years ago. But the point is nobody had one. And I was walking around like, you need a home phone. And then 4 years later, I sort of realized, I don't need a home phone. And now I have conversations with my mom and my dad where they go, give us a home number. And I'm like, you got my cell phone. It's like, give us a home number. Like, I don't think I have a home number. Like, give us a number. So now we're going to do that with cable and in satellite.
Can I give you a little stat that supports your point?
Yeah, I'm just saying that I sit around and go, you can't take my cable away. I need the cable. I watch a cable. My son and my daughter will never have cable or satellite. They'll just have their device or whatever it is. Yes.
There's a survey that came out and it says just a year ago, 52% of people were watching shows on TV. And now that number has dropped to 23%. So there's a significant drop in 1 year of people who aren't watching TV.
Well, I'll say, I think with the technology speeds everything up, and it also speeds up its own obsolescence. So hold on.
Wow. Was that just for using the word obsolescence?
I think so.
That's good. That's
good. So,
you used it right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, when I was doing Ace on the House, I think I invented a word called contiguous.
Contiguous.
I know,
is a
but
word.
I invented contiguous. I made it up.
I know what you meant.
I made up with obsolescence.
I know what you meant.
So, guys rode around horses and had buggies and horses, and that's what they had for a long period of time. And then the car came around. But it had to be 30 years before the car took over completely for the horse.
Right.
I mean, 25 years, you know, before it was 50% cars and 50% wagons and horses and stuff like that. This happens in 14 months. It goes to that 50% thing because it's technology. It goes there. You can't physically deliver a Model A or Model T or whatever to every farmer and every household in America and take their horse. And, you know, it's like this logistically, this has to take 25 years. This can happen almost overnight. Yeah. And that's what happens.
Last point, live attendance at sporting events has not really changed as viewership has on TV. So the fact that people are not watching the same amount of sports is not factual.
All right. I'm going to tell you about Books, and then I got something very interesting to some interesting quotes from last week's Earth Day to share with you. Books, baby. Ah, Mother's Day flowers. Let's not get lured in with the $19.99 advertised price. And then you check out at $94. Books is a better way to buy flowers. Fully transparent pricing, starting at just $40, includes free delivery, sustainably farmed, straight from the grower to the customer. It lasts longer. It costs less. It's the Books. This year, me and the Books CEO, John Tabas, put our heads together to make Mother's Day great again. Just text the word Adam to the number.
Put that on a hat.
Mama.
Yes.
Yeah. Just text the word Adam to the number 64600. Just 64. Well, it's like 64,600. 64600. And I'll text you back an exclusive video message from me to mom, guaranteeing she'll have great flowers and a great Mother's Day. How are you feeling, Gina Grand?
Can I just tell you that I've received a bouquet of Books, and they were by far the most gorgeous flowers I have ever received. And yeah, you don't buy flowers for yourself, you know, so when somebody gives you a beautiful, fresh bouquet of flowers, there is nothing better, and these are really stunning.
Get it for Mama, would you please? And you'll get 20% off as well. So use that code. You get 20% off. You get the custom message. Just text Adam to 64600. Hurry. It's going to sell out. Spooks. All right. Let's see. Our guest is here. So we'll get into this real quick. I got some quotes from Earth Day. Took place Saturday.
Where did you march? Where did you...
Yeah, where were you doing your picketing?
I did a silent sort of circular march between my refrigerator and my den. It's a quiet protest.
Doing small laps?
Yeah.
Small laps, small, grabbing beers, heading back to watch more cable. Still haven't cut the cable.
We're here. We're beers. Get
used to it. All right. So I'll read a few of those, Dawson, and then I'll tell you about it after it.
Harvard biologist George Wald estimated that, quote, civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. The second one.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Stanford's Paul Ehrlich sketched out his most alarmist scenario for the Earth Day issue of The Progressive, assuring readers that between 2020 and 2029, some 4 billion people, including 65 million Americans, would perish in the Great Die-Off.
Oh.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Quote, it is already too late to avoid mass starvation, declared Dennis Hayes, the chief organizer for Earth Day, in an issue of The Living Wilderness. And finally, Senator Gaylord Nelson published that, quote, Dr. S. Dillon Ripley, secretary of the Smithsonian Institute, believes that in 25 years, somewhere between 75 and 80% of all the species of living animals will be extinct.
All right.
He's gay.
All right. So some of you may have sussed this out. This is from Earth Day. These are all speeches from Earth Day, but not this year. This is from the first Earth Day in 1970. So this is what I was fed my entire life by my crazy cuckoo mom.
This is not a good heads up if it's just this year.
But what I'm saying to you is none of this has happened. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, understand that when people tell me, here's what's going on, that these vaccinations are causing Down syndrome and the killer bees are coming from Central America, and here's what you need, your son needs a corrective helmet because his skull is moving like tectonic plates, and all of this stuff, and here's your Purell, you must bathe in it, and I go, no. And then they start explaining about why breastfeeding is so much more important than formula and everything else and how your kid gains 1,000 IQ points and everything. And I just go, I'm not listening. And the reason I'm not listening is because this is all I heard and virtually none of it happened. And quite the contrary. And actually, things got better. The air got cleaner. The rivers got cleaner. Things got better. Now, here's what I always say. It's what I told this to Al Gore. My wife drives a Tesla. Sorry. Good-looking dude. I always get a boner every time I think of that car. My wife drives a Tesla, and every single bulb in my house is a LED bulb. And you guys will attest that when we do live shows, before we walk out on stage, I shut the lights to our dressing room. Because why do they need to be on while we're out on stage?
And you wonder why we're still alive after all those dire predictions in the 1970s? Because of you.
Yes. So simply make that part of your life. Mm-hmm. The next house I build will be completely insulated and solar and triple glazed and bulletproof. And I will do that all for the sake of waste and for the sake of me.
And efficiency.
And that's the only thing we should be focused on is just efficiency. So I don't deny, you know, when they say like, are you a climate denier or whatever? I don't deny any of this stuff. I don't, I don't want to have the knee-jerk crazed reaction because you have to understand, what am I to do? I was born in 1964. This took place when I was six.
Right.
And now I'm 52, and it's not. It's been nonstop beating of the panic drum. Mm-hmm. Everyone just sounding the alarm. Even if you go back to Inconvenient Truth just 12 years ago or, I don't know, 13 years ago, whenever it was, there's a bunch of predictions in that that have completely never even come close to happening. That being said, let's not just burn tires in our front right. yard. Let's all do what yeah. we can do. And I do believe, oh, no, wait a second. Hold on. Mm. Okay. Ah! Mm. Aha! When I was young, it was sad because I liked cars, and I had my mom for a mom and my dad for a dad. You can imagine.
So, terrible
strike
combination.
One, yeah, two.
I should have just been in the equestrian sports. So, yeah. I'm into barrel racing. It would have been a better, like a more tangible dream. Ugh. No, those guys hated cars and wished they didn't have to have one. And I was in love with, you know, a little Matchbox and Hot Wheels and everything. But I remember my mom and my dad and all my mom's stupid hippie friends, Happy and Sunshine and Axis and Zorback. They'd all sit around smoking spleef in a rattan chair that I think they had permanently welded to their asses. And they'd sit around and go, you know, first off, these cars, that's what's causing all the pollution. Secondly, all gasoline will be gone. Give it like 1985, maybe 1990.
We'll use it all.
Oh, it's gone. It's not sustainable. Right. It's in the earth. It's beneath us. We've sucked enough of it out. Mm-hmm. We're going through this OPEC gas embargo in like 72. It was like gas rationing and blah, blah, blah. So we'll be out of gas. There will be no more gas. And good, because these are the biggest polluters we have on the planet, these internal combustion vehicles. And I was pretty bummed out at age 7 because I'm like 6 or 7. I'm kind of doing the math.
8 years away from getting a car.
I'll get my car in a year, but when I'm 20, is there going to be cars or gas? Will there be? Can I buy gasoline? Would it be $100 a gallon? Well, what did we do? We didn't get rid of the internal combustion engine. We cleaned it up. Mm-hmm. What's coming out of the tailpipe of a brand new Corvette with 500 horsepower and the most performance in the world is a 20th of what was coming out of the back of my mom's Dodge Dart with the 110 horsepower and the slant six in it. So you guys can remember as a kid when you'd be going up the freeway on ramp and you got the old man in the Oldsmobile in front of you and he's punched it and your eyes are watering. And
even today, the one old car on the freeway, you can smell it from 20 car lengths away.
And remember subterranean parking. Remember, like, a garage? If somebody fired up their car in a garage, be like, open the door, turn a fan on. Like, it's crazy, but you can sit in your garage, fire your car up now, and just sort of stand around.
And survive.
Please don't do this anymore.
Subterranean parking, like, if you're down, you start up, and you're standing next to the car, be like, oh, this is brutal. Well, what did we do? We took technology, and we figured out a way to, with catalytic converters and all kinds of computers and retarding and advancing the timing and injections and blah, 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 blah. We got the car super clean. And we've also figured out a way to extract gasoline from places we didn't think, you know, shale or whatever else, or out in the oil derricks or whatever, things we didn't think we could. So we didn't say you can't have cars or we can't. My mom's prediction was, and all her hippie friends were, no cars, no internal combustion engine. My thing is, let's let technology help us in this. Mm-hmm. Maybe internal combustion engines aren't evil. We don't look at them as bad anymore. They don't really produce the nearly, it'd have to be a 50th of whatever was coming out of the pipe before. So I don't know what the future is, but I kind of like technology and science to handle it, but that doesn't mean you can no longer use gas or coal or anything else. It just means let's use that, let's get a car with more range, and let's work on whatever the solar thing is.
Yes. It just means that dreamy Elon Musk will save all of us.
It'll be our savior. Yeah. Like those crazy quotes we were hearing from the first Earth Day, those are obviously worst-case scenarios married with, if we don't do anything, .. Well, it hasn't been the worst-case scenario, and we've done things. Right. We've done the technological improvements, the regulations, whatever they might be, worldwide.
Yes.
Here at home.
Yes.
So and we're it's in a better place.
And the reason I'm tuned out is some of it is we need to do something, but a lot of it was just, this is where we're going to be in 30 years. But also why I'm pretty confident about our society and pretty confident about our planet, because I lived through this and all the doom and gloom and all the, oh my God, we're all screwed. And everyone is just doing a math, which is, if the rivers are this polluted in 1972, imagine what they're going to be like in 2012.
It can only get worse.
We cleaned it. Yeah, we cleaned it up.
We took action.
But it's like, I don't know, it's like people, you guys can't remember what Baltimore used to be like in the 80s. And a lot of these cities, they're just waterfront, decrepit, crumbling, crime infested, whatever.
Even your hypodermic needles on the, you know, the Jersey Shore.
Times Square.
Even, I was about to say, New York, Times Square. I'm hoping we can still do this, but we can get together, turn our attention towards something and fix it. Speaking of that, all right.
We're going to fix.
We had our mayor, Garcetti. So I was, this will tie into both these things. I was driving in. I want you guys, morally, Dawson, I need your voice on this one too, and your spirit. Rarely, because I just get feeling I'm going to be amused. I don't know why. Where are we morally on? When I'm driving in from my house, and I'm driving in here to go to work, and they have the diamond lanes. The diamond lanes really have not worked out. The high occupancy lanes have not really worked out in the city, because I'm driving in, and the other four lanes are pretty well packed and not moving so fast, and the diamond lane is sort of empty. So what we've done is choke off 20% of our lanes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how else to do this math. We're all sort of bottlenecked and bookend and creeping along at 14 miles an hour, and I'm looking at the diamond lane, and there's nobody in it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we could add 20% to our speed if we just open this up. I wish there was some sort of sensible sort of use your own discretion kind of diamond lane thing. I don't know how to fix this thing. There was this promise that we're going to create a diamond lane. We're going to have one lane. I think it's our city planners. Like, they don't understand. Like, they go, we want you to carpool. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I live in La Cañada. My kids are in school.
Yeah.
I work here. I don't know what to do. It's like, well, we want you to carpool. It's like, I'm never going to carpool. I can't carpool. I can't do it. I can't do it here or there. There's nobody lives by where I live. I'd like to use this lane. I'd like to have a conversation with somebody in my car one way, of course. I mean, not one way, but one way as far as the conversation goes. So I do what I do, which is I go, I'm morally and perfectly fine with sliding into the diamond lane and driving along. Now, my take is, if I'm not holding anybody up or taking anybody's spot, technically, what I'm doing is I'm alleviating a little bit of traffic from the pile I'm in now. So I do what I do. I put my blinker on and I put my sun visor down on the driver's passenger side, so it looks like somebody might be sitting there. And then I get into the diamond lane and I start driving. But I've realized, always looking for cops, mainly behind me looking for cops. But I've sort of realized, if you look behind you, you'll just see a regular sedan. You go, all right, well, that's not a cop. Well, even if the cop's behind that guy, he still can't bust you because he can't really see you. So what happened was, I'm driving along in the diamond lane and I spot, thankfully, head's always on a swivel, I spot a cop cruiser, CHP, up about 10, 12 cars, but in the lane closest to the diamond lane. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the math. I'm going to come past this guy any second.
And there's usually double yellow, so you can't cross it either.
Oh, yes, I do.
They prefer you to.
So I
see the cruiser, and I immediately jam myself back into traffic. And then, just behind me, just a few moments later, I see a guy who's also in the diamond lane, like signaling, like trying to get through, and I give him a kind of a wave and let him slide in front of me. I then go another several hundred feet on the freeway, and I see, like, there's a slowdown in the freeway. The cop had seen him, do this in the rearview mirror, had basically slowed down and was sort of sitting there now while everyone was like kind of slowing down and waving the guy around him. And then I realized, oh, this pussy is out trolling. He's in this left lane, not going anywhere in traffic, looking for these people in the diamond lane.
Looking to snare people.
Who are all just, this guy was driving a BMW 3 Series. It's everyone is just trying to get to work. Are trying to get to some place. You guys have done a horrible job of planning the city, and now this guy's late to his meeting or whatever it is, and that's all he's doing. Is this really what we want? Is this what we want these guys out on patrol doing? He was clearly trolling out in that left. And I knew it because he was just staring in his rearview mirror. And by the way, blow me, Officer Puss, because I did the exact same thing. I just saw your ass before you saw me. First off, how are we morally on going into the diamond lane?
If I'm passing a slowdown or going, I'll always do it if I'm going around a slow driver who's messing everything up for me and or the people behind me. I'm totally fine with it. I do my best to avoid going over the, I have a strategy. I do my best to avoid over the double yellow, because that is like instant ticket. But if you can time it where you're going around a corner, then they can't tell if you're going in or out. So always try, my advice, always try and time it safely for going when you're in a curve or a corner.
Dawson. The diamond lane.
I use it to get around if there's an accident in the freeway.
How about?
But
what about the moral strategy or lack thereof that I do?
I say you can use it. I see nothing wrong with what you're doing. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Also, I'm in the platinum taxpayers club.
Yeah.
Does that help?
It doesn't exist. I just put myself there.
Well, it does exist if the ticket doesn't mean much to you. That's a $370 ticket.
Yeah.
That's not a parking ticket.
They're there just to raise money, so I don't care.
Yeah, but I think everyone's
for the rest of us.
And I think everyone's in agreement that nobody cares if you do it. We'd do it ourselves, but everyone's more afraid of the ticket as opposed to the moral.
Right. So we all drive around LA in fear. Yeah.
I wish more people did, but you did to alleviate traffic.
Correct.
Thank you. I'll tell you what our mayor did a state of the state or state of the city address last week, and I said, this guy's such a jack-off, Garcetti. Everything's a platitude. Everything's about sort of reaching out and touching homeless people. and saying I'll tell you what pisses me off about this guy. All I hear out of him is either homeless or Sanctuary City stuff, but I never hear anything about what we're going to do with the airport or what we're going to do about traffic. Like,
I
can't. There's a horrible turn in state of affairs, which is the bachelor party's been moved out to 5 days because nobody cares about telling their boss they're going to a bachelor party anymore. And we've decided that mayors need to be wet nurses. Like, I grew up watching, you know, Batman. The mayor's like, I gotta cut down on crime. I gotta catch this crime. I gotta catch this criminal. It's like a dude smoking a cigar.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. The mayor was about crime, and the mayor was always, it was just, when I was a kid, he was like, what does the mayor do? I'd be like, he makes sure the trash is picked up, and he makes sure the city streets are safe, and he makes sure the school buses run on time, and the trains, you know, like that.
The police are well-funded.
He never says anything about diversity?
He didn't talk about, no, or good vibes, or embracing the homeless, and none of it. And I feel like our mayor is such a pussy, but all he does is talk about, you know, and it's going on all over the place. Whatever Sanctuary City you're now living in. I have look, it's this insane thing. I worked construction my entire life. All I did was work with mostly illegal Hispanic guys and befriended many of them and just sat next to them and ate. I don't have anything against. Ate their cactus stew. I have nothing at all against any people. I just feel like, okay, you have a city, you have a country, you have a state, you need a rule. Who's coming in? Who are they? Where's their ID? A system. It's just a system. I don't know. Like, by the way, like every place, every city, every country, just a system. The same way I wouldn't complain if someone, you know, you want to get on an airplane, show me your ID, show me your this, show me that. It's like, okay, here it is. The cop, Officer Pussy, in CHP, pulls you over. ID, proof of insurance, proof of registration. You don't go, I don't have to show you anything. No, it's all kind of the agreement we made when we decided to live in a community, which mm-hmm. is people would have identification. We would know who they are.
They'd be accounted for.
Yeah, it doesn't make you bad because you don't. It still doesn't mean we don't need to know. Mm-hmm. This thing of like 100% of people who travel through LAX today will show ID, and 100% will have no thoughts about taking down an airplane. And no nefarious thoughts at all. But 100%
money, cash money.
Oh, yeah. So may have left Burbank. Yeah. 100% of the people that go through LA are going to have to show, the LAX are going to have to show IDs, and 100% are going to have no terrorist affiliations and no thoughts about anything negative involving the flight, simply wanting to get from A to B. Okay. Does that mean if I say 100% of them are just good, honest, hardworking family people, just they want to get to Sacramento from LA for $99? Yes. But we still need to see ID, and we still need to have a system. That's all. And it's like the thing about like the wall, we're building a wall. We're insane. The thing is we just need whatever we need. Parts of it could be a wall. Parts of it could be a guard tower. Parts of it could be an aerial drone. Parts of it could be checkpoints. I don't know. Like whatever the border is, let's control it. Let's decide who gets to cross it and when and know what's going on. And that's it. Like, it's a weird thing. I don't even know why we get all kind of get he wants to build a wall. Mm-hmm. A wall's never stopped anybody from coming. It's like, just some of it might be a wall. Some of it'll be a fence. Some of it'll be a tower. Some of it'll be a guy in a Jeep or whatever. Either way, I think we can all agree that we just like to know what's going on. Like, we just don't want people willy-nilly coming into the country. Doesn't mean no one can come into the country. It just means we want to know about it.
Coming through the entrance.
Garcetti, and we have the number one traffic problem in the world. In the world. And he did his... sorry, Max. You got that, nothing from Gary.
God damn it.
You got nothing from Gary. All right. Anyway, I told Gary to comb through his 48-minute mm-hmm. speech and tell me what percentage of it was homeless-oriented and what percentage of it was traffic-oriented.
50-50, right?
The reason I'm talking to... Well, it shouldn't be 50-50. It shouldn't be near 50-50 because...
8% on one, 9% on the other.
Traffic affects 100% of the citizens. The homeless population is way less than 1%. Mm-hmm. I hope. It seems bigger than that, but it can't be 10% of the population. That would be insane. Right. So one is 100% of the population, except for the homeless, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, ironically, the only person that benefits from the traffic. Yeah. You got signs on the off-ramps.
They're crazy like foxes. They sleep under the freeway. They don't sit up with their suckers on top of the freeway paying taxes and sucking up fumes. They sleep under the freeway in refrigerator boxes. All right. All right,
Max Benner. Completely failed you.
Remind me to yell at you, Max Benner, during the break.
I will make sure.
Please give me a note.
Take your lashing.
I told Gary breakdown at 48 minutes. About 8 minutes of it was homeless, and like 44 seconds was traffic. And I thought that's so perfect for that ass-tard. So perfect. Like, and why? When did governing a city, especially like Los Angeles, become into some sort of like sensitivity bake-off? Mm. Like, who could be more sensitive to the needs of the diverse population? When did they turn into this?
Yeah, mayor's such a nuts and bolts position anyway. Like you were saying earlier, make sure the buses run on time. Obviously, in LA, it's a bigger thing, but you know, there are check boxes to a mayorship.
Well, let me hear. Do you have his homeless
one? Yeah.
Let me hear a little of that.
All right, here
I guarantee
we go.
Sounds like a world-class puss. Yes, again, mayor, it's sort of like superintendent. Like, it's a nuts and boltsy mm-hmm. kind of thing. And look, once you've completed the train to LAX, once you've tunneled through the Sepulveda Pass so the 405 wasn't the most congested freeway on the planet, once you've gotten rid of the homelessness and the crime and the gangs and all this, then we can start focusing on the feel-good mm-hmm. stuff. All right, let's hear him.
To tap into it. Because this year, our job is not simply to reflect the people's will. We're here to accelerate it. In the last year, we campaigned for historic investments, and we won. Now, armed with the people of Los Angeles behind us and new resources to propel us, It is our time to deliver historic change. And we're starting on our streets.
Oh, crime.
I remember a time growing up here when homelessness was mostly concentrated in Skid Row. Today, there are people without shelter in just about every neighborhood.
Hold on a second. Mayor, whose fault is that? There's homeless people in every neighborhood. Nice job, Mayor.
Yeah, homelessness is out of control.
He
all of a sudden.
He runs the city. So, so before you ran the city, it was just in Skid Row. Now that you're running the city, it's everywhere.
He's accidentally reading the speech of his opponent.
Well, this is the insane thing about politicians is they're perfectly fine. He and his ilk have been governing this city for 20 years. Why? Then whose fault is it? All right. Let it go.
Sir. There is no issue I spend more time on.
No.
Because I believe that homelessness
All right, hold on.
Is
the- Now I'm pissed. There's no issue he spends more time on other than the one that affects less than 1% of the population. Although you're number one in traffic, but you spend most all your time on homeless. That's just what we need, right?
Also a bad sign if you spend your most time on homelessness, the problem is growing the fastest.
It's a very interesting point. How effective are you when you set your sights on something? All right, here we go.
Moral issue of our time.
It's the moral issue
I'm
of our
time. I'm outraged when there are Angelenos who can't escape the cold rain. Horrified when somebody who has worn our nation's uniform is begging for change on the corner.
Such a puss.
I recently talked to a friend who told me that her children have grown up seeing the tents all around town, and they just think it's a normal part of Los Angeles. And
well,
I worry
now,
that my 5-year-old
Dick.
Daughter, she won't know any different either. We can't accept that. We won't accept that.
Well, we have, douche. What do you mean we won't? We just did.
Feels
Didn't
like
we just do it?
Feels like it's part of our life now.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. So he spends all of his time thinking about homeless, or the lion's share of his time. That's what you want the mayor doing, right?
The fastest growing problem.
So me and my dad were kicking it here in the 70s, and I said, Dad, what do you want out of a mayor? You want to think just about the homeless problem. That's it. Yeah. Nothing about the schools, nothing about traffic, nothing about violence and gangs or anything like that. All right.
It's very Michael Scott-esque from The Office. I would like all of the credit with none of the blame.
Yeah. How about all the productions running away to Canada and Atlanta and part Louisiana and everywhere but Los Angeles and taking all their millions of dollars with them? You want to think, carve out? Like when he's sitting around reflecting on the homeless, I'd like to tap him on the shoulder and go, could we get just a couple of minutes to runaway production and being number one in traffic? Or is it just all going to be homeless today, Your Honor? But you understand, he doesn't care about the homeless people. He cares about being a pussy. That's his number one goal. It's this softy kind of thing. If he cared about the homeless, he would do something about the homeless. Under his reign, the homeless have grown, you know, tenfold. So what is he really doing about the homeless? He's not doing anything. I've not seen him do anything about the homeless. They're growing in record numbers. So,
but this is clearly the will of the people. He was voted mayor. He's reflecting the society we live in.
Please, pussies, please stop it. Please stop with the rhetoric. Stop listening to the rhetoric. Like, the politicians had never stopped. Like, I dream of a day where a young black, bi-curious girl can join hands with a red-haired gal who's in the Klan and they can play together. Like, just stop and just run things. Just run things. And by the way, when you run things, stand back and watch all these other problems magically go away. All these things you're worried about. Oh, the incarceration of minorities and the homeless and the schools. Watch what happens when the jobs are created, when the neighborhoods are put back together, when the traffic eases. Well, watch what happens with all these other all these other problems are just byproducts of families falling apart and this guy wanting to extract more money and more people just leaving and the whole white flight and all that good stuff. All right. Anyway. Sean Gunn is here.
Is he homeless?
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy, man. He's got a lot of homes. I'll tell you guys quickly about Rich Uncles. Ah. Big fan of richuncles.com. I've invested with Rich Uncles. I don't want to be homeless. I got to put some money in the right places. The REITs, the Real Estate Investment Trust, getting cash dividends every single month. Lots of listeners getting into this as well. Now, you can go to Rich Uncles, and they're checking out their interest in a proposed REIT for student housing. Here's how the student housing things work. Parents pay for it. It's simple. So, Rich Uncles plans on buying facilities for students at major colleges and universities, and they're going to buy them up and get that money from Mama and Papa, break off a chunk, and give it to you. Sound interesting? Go to richuncles.com, richuncles.com. You can express your interest there in Rich Uncles Housing REIT. They're Reg A tier two offering. I screwed that one up. That's richuncles.com, or you can give them a call. 855-RICH-UNCLES, 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncles Student Housing REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
All right, Sean Gunn here. We'll talk Guardians of the Galaxy and beyond right after this.
Hey kiddies, you can now experience Adam Carolla and friends Build Stuff Live with the Carolla Digital Staff.
Dude. Guy. Dude Wood. Guy. Dude guy bro.
The Carolla Drinks After Show, hosted by Lynette Carolla and Jay Miller, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live. Have all kinds of fun participating with the show.
Have we ever said the secret word at all? Have we heard a ding ding?
I haven't heard a ding. Maybe
no?
We haven't. We've been
Viking.
And get behind the scenes with Adam Carolla and friends Build Stuff Live.
The top 10 weirdest things you didn't know about Trace Atkins. He burned his house down in like 96.
Oh.
Lynette leaves the tools to her husband.
Jacking off after the show. Well, jacking around is what I meant. Sorry.
She's too busy building her tolerance.
Yeah, try watching that with your two kids. Daddy talking about jacking off.
Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and broadcast on Facebook Live. The Carolla Drinks After Show. See you next Tuesday.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Kneel before thought.
If you said Superman 2.
Kneel before Zod!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Dean Gunn is in here. We had his brother James Gunn in here a little bit ago. Now we're here to talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
Did you say Dean Gunn?
Oh, I said, Sean Gunn. Sean Gunn.
Paula Sorry. Dean Gunn.
Paula Dean Sean Gunn. Sorry. I'm not getting enough sleep. I think that's it's affecting me. Sean Gunn, sorry. I had James written under it. I thought my head went James Dean. Did James Dean. Sorry.
It's just you've ruined my big moment, man. It's okay. Sorry. It's like,
quiet,
sorry,
Dean.
I'll try it again. Sean Gunn is in here.
World brother famous. James.
Yeah, so we had in here. Now we're talking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Sorry, thanks for the correction. Next Friday, May 5th, everyone excited about this thing. Everyone pumped. So James was in here and he said, I really think it's better than the first.
Yeah, I think it probably is better. It's hard to judge, though. I don't know. I'm so inside of it. It's hard to watch something with a critical eye that you worked on for so long.
But you've watched it with audience or with other people.
Yeah.
The reaction, the general
people
consensus.
People seem to be really into it. But the first one was like that. So I think they both, you know, I don't know. It's not a competition. I think they're both great.
Good answer, man. Mm-hmm. And I heard that you not only are in the movie, but you stood in for Rocket, the raccoon as well.
Yeah, I play Rocket on set. So I do, it's a process we developed over the course of the first movie where I literally get down on my hands and knees and I play Rocket. So I'm like working with the other actors and you know, when we rehearse the scenes, I'm doing it with them. And then the animators will, the visual effects team will then use my performance as reference when they animate him. So anytime he's doing, you know, his facial expressions and all that stuff is generally things that I did on set.
That's got to be so much easier than acting opposite a tennis ball, which I feel like is common.
Well, so I mean,
that's why we did it. Yeah.
It's not just for sight lines. Like, you really have to do it.
Oh, yeah. No, I prepare it just like I do any role. It's just like, and then physically, because I can contort my body and I can actually like walk from a squatted position, which is a little
crazy.
Wait,
we're looking at a picture, you know.
Prove it.
Oh, well, this was much undersold to me because I when he said like stand in for Rocket, I just thought.
No, not stand in. I don't know who says stand in. I'm not a stand in. A stand in is
everyone
they
put
in for the lights, you know.
No,
to, like,
I
to change
what
the
I
lights.
Mean is.
It's okay.
Pardon
it's
me. Because when you're doing lines, you need someone to read the line, you know, and do the line, you know, just to kind of keep the pace and stuff. But I didn't know this was a much more involved process than that.
Yeah, and I'm doing it for the Avengers movies now, too, so because they were crossing over.
You say you can contort yourself?
Uh-huh.
What is, how can you do that?
Well, I just can fold my body up really
You're
well.
You're very slender. Is that part,
yes.
Is that to do with it?
That is, I think, yeah. I think that's kind of why.
He's had many
I've
ribs
always
removed.
Been slim. I was like, I had surgeries when I was a little kid. I was all like kind of messed up. And yeah, so I can just get down and squat and sort of stay there. So anytime we're shooting a scene, what I'm trying to do is keep my eyes wherever Rocket's eyes are. Uh-huh. So when he's walking, I walked at that level, and you know when he's in the cockpit, I just crouch into whatever.
How are you able
to
move around at that in that position?
Well, I can show you.
Okay. Get your phone out.
Right. But imagine me squatting right on the ground so that I'm only like a few feet high, and then. I move my feet like this, but my knees are up.
Like a catcher.
Could I see it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Thank you.
I never do this for people, but this is a special occasion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a fan of your show.
That's what I love.
Come
about.
My brother's always a great guest, so.
He is.
I need to.
He is. I'm standing up now, and I'm
so
trying to.
I'm usually trying
to look at it.
So
he's in a catcher's crouch.
Yeah, he's in a catcher's crouch.
And I walk like this.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
He's like a spider.
Slink.
He's like a spider.
You're slinking.
Yeah.
He's like Gollum, like a spider.
And it doesn't hurt your knees and your back?
You know what? Honestly, what hurts the most are my ankles and my feet.
So you said you had a bunch of surgeries growing up.
I don't know. I was just born with like, I had a deformed chest when I was born. I can't believe this is what we're talking about, but why not?
It's all interesting.
And I also had intestine problems and like... I was just the runt of the litter, you know. I was the youngest of six, and I had all kinds of these, like, health problems. So,
and Sean says to the doctor, I want to be able to play Rocket Raccoon. You're not going to know who that is, but listen to me. I want to be able to do this.
Yeah.
So, for you, so Guardians of the Galaxy coming up, and you're one of the henchmen in the movies. You play Kraglin. So it's really important that you do all the movements and all the facial expressions and stuff like that and the eye contact and everything because the animators or the computer generators guys have to then do your face and then Bradley Cooper.
Right.
Then Bradley Cooper comes in and lays it over that?
Yeah. The way I understand, I mean, I'm not there for a lot of posts, any of it really, but the way I understand it, they sort of do a draft of Rocket where they start to build the CGI.
Right.
And then they, you know, so they sort of put the scene together and then Bradley comes in and he takes it from there. So he knows sort of what the movements are and how the other actors are reacting. And then he builds his performance from there.
Is it motion capture? Is that what they're doing? Or is it a different?
You know, it's called motion reference just because motion capture means that they do it through the computer. There's like an algorithm that takes care of it. But in this case, a raccoon's face is too different from a human's face. And so they have to do it more manually.
Interesting.
Are you out here in LA full time?
Yes, I am. I've lived here for 20 years.
Oh, 20 years.
Yeah.
So working as an actor, do you write and create and do that stuff as well?
A little bit, but it's always as a hobby, sort of. Like, you know, I wrote something I like. I've written a couple of things that have gotten made or helped on some producing stuff, but basically I'm a grinder as an actor. Like,
It says here, which now makes sense, that you worked more days on Guardians of the Galaxy than any other actor in the film.
Sure.
Which makes sense.
I believe that's true for the second movie.
We're going to play a Rotten Tomatoes game. I got a text from Mike August that said you got an out that's a little earlier. But do you have a hard out?
I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see,
time for a game.
You have to. There's this weird thing, and I'll just be upfront with people in this town, which is sometimes people have hard outs. Like there's people like they're going to go do the Tonight Show, and the call time's at 4:30, and they got to be wheels up here by 4 because I got to get across town, and that's like a hard out. Mm-hmm. Or they got to. Bryan Cranston came in here once. He had a hard out, and I know he had a hard out because I drove him to the Burbank Airport where he had to catch a flight to go to New Mexico to do Breaking Bad. But then there are other hard outs where the publicist is just like, half hour's long enough or whatever. So Say has a hard out. And listen, I've done it before too, because sometimes you'll do someone's podcast and you'll be like an hour and 40 minutes in and you'll be like, the guy will be like, yeah, thanks for staying with us on the phone. Hold on. Mom, don't do the laundry when I'm potting. And then they come back and go, so what about Man Show season 3.5? And you go, oh my God, what are we doing here? So, there's sometimes when you'll tell him, like, yeah, you can have it 9:30, but he's got to be out of 10. Not because he's going anywhere, just because he's going to sit and rot with you.
Yeah. my hard out is in between. I'm going down to Disneyland to host this event, but I think they've given me tons of time. So, I mean, I think it's...
All right, well, good. You should experience the Rotten Tomatoes game. That's so let's do it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's going to be good. Archie, he names the flicks and the gang makes flicks, not Archie. He's a schlubby guy. All right, let me hit Smart Mouth before we get into this, because I'm getting backed up here. Ah, they got a dual solution. Ah, it's the oral rinse. It's activated, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Good. Zinc ion technology binds the bacteria and forces it to stop producing the sulfur. That's where the stink comes from. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quick as the stinky breath. So, let's not go into work that way. Let's not go into the club that way. Let's not go into the bar that way. Let's not have your mouth smell like wet garbage. Foul breath can ruin social situations, sabotage relationships, career prospects. It's true. Visit SmartMouth, smartmouth.com. You can go to smartmouth.com or you can just go to wherever you go. Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, whatever you like. But let's do it. Let's get some SmartMouth. All right, now let's play the game.
All right, so in honor of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, we're going to play a game themed around lesser known and or lesser thought of superhero movies. Starting in 1997 with Michael Jai White, John Leguizamo plays a really disgusting looking clown, and Martin Sheen's in the movie too. It's a story of the burnt, scarred hellspawn who... keeps on doing good things despite the efforts of his demon guide in the movie Spawn.
You get burned, like your skin gets burned. You got two choices. I'm going to tell this to my boy. You either go evil full time or you go protector from evil, but living in shadows.
Right.
But you really can't just go on to a middle class kind of life.
Society
where you will not be
you.
Driving a Taurus and have 2.5 kids. You get burned badly. You either go full evil 100% of the time, or you go, you know, more sort of Phantom of the Opera, right, kind of protecting those.
Right. Well, and the tagline up here, the slug line, sort of reflects that: born in darkness, sworn to justice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to write your score down.
They never have a moving beat-off scene with these guys. You know what I mean? It's like, then, you know that moment where the hot chick wants to thank him at the end and he's gone?
Oh, yeah.
He's gone. He's gone
into
back
the night.
Into the night. He lives alone atop this tower or whatever. Like, there should be one realistic beat-off scene in these movies. Because if you did, you know, burn badly and sworn to justice, but living alone, there'd be a fair amount of beating off.
Yeah, so, gone, I'm
you know, you're a virile guy.
Deadpool came close to
I'm
that.
Saying,
right?
I'm assuming you haven't seen Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's facially scarred and he masturbates.
You're right. No,
finally, this movie that you've been asking for.
All right, I'm going to watch it. All right. Spawn. I think this is one of those movies that I think that the community liked it. And I say the comic book community, not the black community per se.
I've got a score here.
But I'm going to say they probably like it. There's probably a couple extra points for his black superhero, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you get let's add on like six for that.
Couple extra points for being progressive there. 72.
Whoa.
I don't know.
That's funny. If I had added my six that I said you had six for that, and that's I would have gotten your score.
66,
so.
Yeah. Well, I did the math, yeah.
66 is your guess?
Yeah, that's my guess, 66.
This was, so they were trying to make like grown-up superhero movies for a few years, and it didn't work, and finally Spider-Man came, and was like, oh, this is like what superhero movies can be, and it was a big hit. I don't think this one worked. I don't think it was well-received. I said 51.
Mm. Yeah, I could be really off to a rocky start here. I've never heard of it. This is not my genre. I'm going 39.
Ooh.
Spawn is rotten at 18.
18!
Oh, thank you, Spawn!
Well,
people like that movie.
Hold on. It would have been 12 if he wasn't black? This is insane!
They call it overbearing, over-violent.
Oh, boy.
So that's why.
They missed on the grown-up superhero thing.
Right. Well, oh, gosh, wow.
Sean's got a hard out in about 4 minutes, so maybe we should bring this home.
Oh, my God.
Take it home.
I really didn't think it would be that bad.
All right, here we go.
Next up, a movie starring Hank Azaria, Ben Stiller, William H. Macy, and Jeffrey Rush. Yeah. About seven very lame superhero wannabes who now have to go into action because the real superhero, Captain Amazing, got kidnapped in 1999's Mystery Men.
Saw this in the theater.
They did.
Saw this many times.
We were making this movie that my brother wrote called The Specials at the same time that was like everyone was comparing us to this movie because it was like a superhero comedy.
Was this directed by Ben Stiller?
I did not see this.
No.
Okay.
Wasn't one of them a bowler?
Yep. That's right, the bowler. That was Jean Garofalo.
Now, you guys like this.
She had her dad's skull in the bowling ball.
was like 20. I was like 7.
Yeah, so exactly. you got to be careful when you really like these things. Sometimes there can be problems. Geez, I don't know where to go with this at all. I'm wondering if they got some comic points here.
Oh, what's his name? Jeffrey Rush just chews up the scenery. He's
all right.
All over Reuben.
Based on you guys fawning, I'm going to go 61.
Wow. Oh, I went 60.
If I recall correctly, this movie just bombed and got totally panned. I went 21%.
Wow. Ooh. I remember loving it, but I also don't think it was well received. I said 55.
Somebody was right on the nose. Mystery Men is fresh at 60.
Woo! Damn!
Yay!
Is that you?
That's me.
I needed that one.
That's the worst player this game I've ever lived.
Well, Adam accumulated 55 points on the last one.
It's like 40% off on both of them.
What were you on the first one, Brian?
I guessed 51. It was what, 27?
I might still be alive.
It was like 18.
Yeah,
no,
18, right.
No, I needed that 5 points, though. Yeah. I think we could have
got
that 5 points.
You got a 5-point deduction, Dean.
Sorry.
If you get it right on the nose, you get to take off 5 points.
Yes, if you can get the exact number.
Dean's ignoring us.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't care.
Hey, by the way, God, that got me because you said someone got it right on the thing and you're like 6 and I was like 61. Zero. I didn't remember anyone else saying 6. All right, here we go.
I did that on purpose.
I know.
Our next movie is from M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
It's a riveting story about a man who emerges unharmed as the sole survivor in a major train wreck and then finds his nemesis in Samuel L. Jackson. It's Bruce Willis. Samuel L. and Robin Wright in the movie from the year 2000, Unbreakable.
Underrated. I'm on the records liking this movie.
Underrated, maybe, but everyone will always tell you got to see Unbreakable. It's a great movie.
You've seen it?
Nope.
Oh, I like this movie.
Did you see Split?
I did not.
All right, I'm going to leave it alone.
So they maybe underrated at the box office, but the people who saw it liked it and will always tell you it's a good movie you should go see.
And I think it suffered hugely from being the first movie after The Sixth Sense. The expectation was so high. And it's like, oh, that's a good movie. Not a great movie. But
where's
a good movie.
Twist?
If I recall, the final act falls apart a little bit in that movie.
I like
but
that
it was cool up until that point.
Where is, boy, for a guy who doesn't see any movies, you sure have a lot of thoughts about movies. Where's James? Can we get him back?
We can start with Dean.
All right. Let's see. I should see this movie. I haven't seen this movie.
It's a slow burn, too. This is a two-hour movie that feels like 2.5.
I got to get back in this game. I'm scared. I got to make a move. I got to go 55.
I said 70.
I said 68.
I said 78.
Again, we have someone on the nose. Unbreakable is fresh at 68.
Yes!
Wow.
I mean, that's cool.
Nice. I should have gone up.
Good movie. I like this movie.
68. All right. Oh, Gina. Yeah. Big lead. Here we go.
Sean Connery was in a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know much about it, but he wore an Indiana Jones hat, but during much of it. In the movie from 2003, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Was this part of a franchise?
I think it was intended to be.
Okay.
Yeah. They had this weird, it reminds me of like when the Avengers came out, this came out, it was like this weird sort of upper crust sort of superhero, or not superhero, but like, oh, sort of superhero, but like with an English accent, wearing derbies and stuff. There's a weird little phase we had for about 3 years. We're trying to do this weird higher-end stuff.
What year was this?
03?
Okay.
People love this comic book, if I recall.
But the movie they didn't... I got to get back in. I'm going 19.
Oh, crap.
Nope, that's a good guess. I said 25.
I said 36.
28.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is rotten at 17.
What did you say?
I said 19.
Dang.
That's good.
Yeah, but I'm still way off the pace.
Our final movie.
All right.
Brandon Routh.
Nope.
Stars with Kevin Spacey. Is it Routh? Ruth? What's his name?
It's Routh.
It is Routh.
I'm most positive.
Okay.
Yeah. I just met that guy. He was nice.
I believe Kevin Spacey plays Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the 2006 Wrong! Return of Superman, Superman Returns.
Wrong! That's from that movie.
And
oh, it is. Yes, it is.
And he's the lead. Routh is the lead. Okay.
He was the one and done Superman. He was the George Lazenby of Superman.
Yeah. Is he the English guy?
That's Henry Cavill, who is currently Superman. Oh. Brandon Routh was, in my opinion, not a bad Superman. Mm-hmm. But he was one and done. Apparently, I was the only one who thought so.
Mm. All right. 06. People didn't love it. I got to be bold. I got to go big or super small. I got to get back in this game. I got to go. But can they really be that bad? I feel like, how bad can they be?
In my opinion, this is an underrated movie.
Oh, boy. Then I got to go up or I got to go down.
Don't listen to him.
You're right. I got to go.
Give my honest opinion.
I'm going 47%.
Ooh.
You're probably pretty close because this is an okay movie that got just killed for some reason. I said 58.
I went 31.
I went 45.
Superman Returns is certified fresh.
Oh, yeah!
At 76%.
Oh, crap.
What?
I remember getting bad reviews. We all guessed bad.
Yeah. No one bad.
Did anyone else see this besides me?
No.
It's okay.
I haven't seen any of these movies except for Mystery Men.
This is a, what the hell is his name?
This is Bryan Singer. This is literally true. I think a computer that was randomly generating numbers would have done better than I did.
I think of a computer, or actually a pigeon that was randomly just picking out ping pong balls with numbers randomly written on them would have done better than me.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, you did do horrible. You scored the highest, 153, and highest means you lose.
I don't know that we've done above a $1.50 so far. Oh, there may
big.
Be some.
Big.
Please call me Dean.
Hold your head up.
That leaves Adam, Brian, and Gina, who are all under 100. Congratulations, everybody. The closest to that is a score of 99 going to Adam Carolla. Leaving Brian and Gina only separated by 14 points. My math sucks. Both of you got one on the nose. It didn't make a difference because Gina got 71 and Brian got 56.
Wow. I would have thought, I felt... Was it the last one?
I really thought I had
it. This is the last one that got you?
It's always the last one.
We had similar scores in the last one. You might have been closer.
Really?
Wait a minute.
That's when I flame out every time.
What was the last one?
The score was 76. I had 58.
I had 45.
Oh. The 45 and the 58, that's
13 points.
That's
a 13-point game.
And that's about the difference.
That's the difference. Wow. So that's funny. I had you in my head in the lead. But,
I did,
and,
too.
And it didn't feel like that big a difference, but there it was. Oh man.
Who cares?
Yeah. You got to protect that lead, man. You got to just go 50 or something in the middle, like a safer.
I tried. I said 45.
Yeah.
I think you'd like Unbreakable.
I do too.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's a slow burn. It's not a flashy, you know, kids action movie or a superhero movie. It's good.
All right. Get the news ready. I'll tell you guys about True Car, man. True Car. Help you buy new, can help you buy used, whatever you like. They have 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're getting a new car, whether you're getting a used car, does not matter. You go with True Car, and it's easy. You go online, go to truecar.com. You find out what others paid for the exact same car. I think your brother was telling me about getting the Hellcat or the Intruder or the something, whatever the Dodge just got something that's like 850 horsepower instead of a paltry 707 or something with the current
Hellcat.
You got
something absurd, yeah.
Yeah. So, but find out exactly what people are paying for the exact same car, because that car comes in many different configurations, starts probably mid-30s and gets all the way up into the 60s, depending on how you outfit it. So it's apples to apples. You see what other people paid. You get your certificate. You lock in your price. You go pick up your car. That's it. New or used, you go True Car. All right. A little bit of news, Gina Grad. Sorry.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Max Pata, what's the new Dodge, the one that's replacing the Hellcat, have? Back to my, we can't have our cake and eat it too, because James can drive around a Dodge with a Hemi in it that has 820 horsepower. Oh, now Sean does have to go. Hold on a second. That has 820 horsepower, but it's going to be compliant with emissions in all the states and not pollute. Hit that car with the Hemi and the 820 horsepower is going to pollute far less than my mother's VW Squareback from 1971 that had no horsepower and did all the polluting. Oh, and Sean, I'm told that you do have to go because you got to get to Disneyland.
I do. I know.
But thanks for staying long enough to lose the game.
I'm happy to be here. It's like they'll survive. Disneyland will somehow stay up and running.
Sean, yeah, they've weathered a few storms. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Sean, sorry. Next, come back next time. Whatever it is you're doing, we'll stay.
I'd love to, man.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Oh, yeah. The Demon. That's what it is. The Demon. Got the Hellcat and the Demon. And how much horsepower is
that? Sean, could you walk out of here on your knees, please?
Bye.
Oh, yeah. 840.
840. Mm-hmm. 840.
And it's hard to believe. Hard to imagine.
Find out what a 1971 VW Squareback had for horsepower. And I guarantee it pollutes 25 times as much. Like my mom's car would fire that VW Squareback up. You'd be in the car. Your eyes would start watering.
I have a potentially stupid question. That Demon, is that number one? I assume it's street legal because you can buy it.
Yep.
Can you just walk into a Dodge dealership and ask to like test drive one? Like, are they sold in large numbers? That's not. I've never heard of one.
You couldn't, but I prompt me or Mr. Leno.
One could.
I think. You know, car dealers are a little bit weird about their supercars and the guys in the flip-flops coming in going, hey, Broseph, can I hop on the wheel and turn a few hot laps? But, yeah, you could. I'm imagining that's a car you might have to order. I don't know all the nuts and bolts of it. I'm not really a Mopar guy. But 840 horsepower versus my mom's 89 horsepower, and her 89 polluted like 20 of those or more. Insane, right?
Yep.
Oh, 53 horsepower, 71 VW Squareback. Oh, there you go, everybody.
Kind of get up a hill.
53 old horses.
Yeah.
We didn't go to places that involved hills. Yeah,
that's right.
Skiing and whatnot.
Right. Well, springboarding off of the Earth Day conversation from earlier in the show, there are scientists out there who believe that we all might be dead by the year 2050. But this is thanks to artificial intelligence. So there's good examples of AI like Google Maps, stuff like that. But the next stage of AI will be a supercomputer that recreates human intelligence. And, thank you, the final evolution is artificial superintelligence that learns so quickly that it literally soars past ordinary human intelligence and solves every problem confronting mankind. The dark side to this is that geniuses like Stephen Hawking say that the development of ASI could spell the end of the human race. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates says he doesn't understand why some people are not concerned that an artificial superintelligence by mid-century could wreak havoc on civilization.
Well, that's the science fiction extrapolation is always like, well, once they fix all our problems, they're going to realize that the cause of all these problems, well, the cause of all the problems is human. So let's get rid of the cause of the problem. It's just a simple equation.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough science fiction.
Well, first off, you know, in terms of science fiction, we do land, we arrive at the right place a lot of the time. Sometimes it's it's way off, but sometimes it's, oh, yeah. And we were laughing about Navageddon. We were laughing about Unbreakable Bruce Willis as the last scientist who drove a 71 Ford Bronco, and his car couldn't be affected. But I was, let's see what year is that. A decade ago, maybe 9 years ago, I was laughing on the radio about these cars. They park themselves now.
Sure.
You know, the doors lock and unlock. You know, they knows when you get near
Cruise
it.
Control,
and locks it. And I said, how long before somebody hacks into the satellite and locks your doors and starts driving you toward the Grand Canyon? And then you just watch Fate of the Eight there, the last Fast and Furious movie. And they have a whole scene where the cars are, you know, computer fired cars go off, start raining down on top of the bad guys. And nobody watched a movie and went, oh, that is so phony. Like, if you would have watched that movie when you were growing up and the bad guy pushed a button on his thing and cars started driving off from the fifth story in Manhattan from a parking structure raining down on the good guys, you just go, oh, come on, that's not going to happen. Or how could that happen? Now you go, oh, yeah.
It's totally plausible.
And there are cases of things and people, and you can watch these Friday night shows, and they'll do a thing where a guy will hack into a guy, and he's just driving along, and his... in a Jeep Cherokee, next thing you know, it starts steering itself,
it's
and the doors
happening.
Lock and unlock. And listen, it'll get this way with cops, I hope, where somebody is a hit and run, and they're chasing the guy, and they disable the car from the computer, or they lock the guy in, or whatever.
How many accidents could that prevent?
But
you know, like people at the end of a high-speed chase running over
neighborhoods.
Yeah, but
then we'll miss the pit maneuver.
Right,
true.
I do like that
it's
maneuver.
It's a trade-off.
But
you're right, they are all already testing that, and it is happening.
Right. So I don't see any reason why this wouldn't happen.
Yeah. But what about the singularity? Wouldn't we be working with the robots if that happened?
Well, once they get to be smart enough to realize that we're the source of the problem.
Damn it.
Lights out. The Skynet.
I hate it.
Yeah. I love your idea of Bruce Willis as the last cop to drive the, you know, the 71, whatever. There's always the one in the science fiction movies. I'm thinking of like iRobot with Will Smith, who had like the old school record player and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always the one tropey character who's anti all this technology. Mm-hmm. I see what you people don't see.
Everybody laughs at him.
Scene one, he's outside of JPL and it's lights up on him, you know, like sweat on the brow, super hot day, and he's dumping water into the radiator of that 71 Ford Bronco. And of course, his coworkers come pulling up in the Jetson car, you know, and they just come pulling up next to him and they just park and they're like,
look at you with that dinosaur.
They give a name like Tuck, his last name's Tucker. Tuck, what are you doing? I plug this in when I get home. I drive here every day. It costs 50 cents. It never breaks down.
It downloads my favorite music every morning.
And he does this joke where he's like, yeah, well, what happens one day when you come home and you find it's on your daughter? Oh, Tuck shakes his head and starts walking into the JPL.
That's just Tuck.
Yeah, and he's doing his thing. And then he starts early. And the first thing is, Russians have fired off another satellite. They say it's to track storms, but we don't know. And Tuck's concerned, you know.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, it's the rogue satellite can control everybody. But Tuck is impervious with a 71 Bronco.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, Kim Kardashian says last October's robbery in Paris has changed her and she is no longer materialistic. In an interview taped Wednesday for Ellen, her first TV appearance since the ordeal, Kim says she believes that the robbery was meant to happen to her so she could change. 17 people have been arrested in connection with the robbery and Kim believes that having to go through this ordeal has made her a better mother. Here's a clip of Kim talking about how it's changed her right after a crying session.
It was probably no secret. You see it on the show and it's being flashy. Like, I was definitely materialistic before. And not that there's anything bad with having things and working hard to get those things. And I'm really proud of,
let me write that
you
down.
Know,
is something wrong or there's not?
But, like, I'm so happy that my kids get this me and that this is who I'm raising my kids because I just don't care about that stuff anymore.
Really?
You know?
Please start dancing, Ellen. Please start dancing.
You know what? I found one thing really interesting when she was talking. Mm. I don't know if you noticed, but she caught herself at one point when she said, you know, there's nothing wrong with working hard and having things. And I'm really proud of, and she stopped and she said, the people around me who are successful.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting.
God, I
who have worked hard.
You know, I watch TMZ and I skip my rope every night. And they always, it's the best show to watch when you're skipping your rope because it's hard to hear when you're skipping your rope because it makes a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. But you don't really have to listen to TMZ. Just watch it. And it's sort of like I'm a cat and it's an aquarium. That's the way, that's my relationship.
You got to hear those fish.
I'm not getting information. I'm just intrigued.
Yeah.
I just like the look.
Just tracking.
And they just have pictures of her like leaving Le Cirque or wherever she is, or the Ivy or whatever it is, like wearing the tightest, highest, you know, she's wearing like a bra with her stuff sucked in and hair flat ironed and everything. And it's like, my thing is if that's truly how it goes, then I feel like I feel like you show it in your aesthetic. Like when you truly don't care, when it's all just about humans and connecting and not about this and the paparazzi and making the money and hammering the checks and all that, being on TV and all that kind of stuff. A, you don't show up at those places, and B, you don't go dressed to the nines.
Well, this is the hot version of not caring.
To those places. If you find that picture, Max Pata, like she's literally wearing a bra and the tightest stuff and the highest of heels. I also like going out to eat, especially if you're really going to get your grub on. I'll wear sweatpants. I'm looking for some movement.
Oh my.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at a picture of her right now. Can you describe what she's wearing?
Well, it looks like she's wearing a white bralette. The ladies will know what that means, with very, very, very uber tight tights that you'd wear under something, like under a skirt. They seem to be almost transparent.
Where'd she keep her keys?
You don't want to ask Ray J.
With a lot of midriff and a lot of leg.
And the boot, it looks like the most uncomfortable thing you could walk in.
Those are laced up
in
to her shins.
Yeah.
It doesn't, look like someone
it's
is
a
just...
bra that you wear outside.
No, it's like a mini bra.
Oh.
Is that a bra you can you wear it outside or not?
Outside of clothes.
I guess if you're that kind of kind of girl.
That's all she's wearing.
Yeah. It's a bra. Yeah. It's a bra.
All right. Where was she going with this, Max Pata?
Let me check. I was looking at the picture.
And the headline was "The Flu Diet Works."
Yeah. Okay. I'd say she still cares. Poor Ellen. She has to sit there and pretend to care.
The Wizard of Bras. Yeah. She should be so lucky.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, Johnny Depp reprised his role as Captain Jack Sparrow Wednesday night and surprised riders on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland. Depp replaced the usual animatronic version of himself and interacted with riders as they sailed by. Many shared videos of the unexpected encounter on Twitter, wondered if it was a promotion for the fifth installment of the saga coming out, Dead Men Tell No Tales, which opens at the end of May. Here's a clip. It's a little hard to hear, but it's still pretty funny. You'll hear Depp responding to a guest who yells for him to hide his rum.
Who else? Hide the rum, Jack! Hide the rum!
I've seen you before. You were on them when it was there.
Poor Johnny Depp.
Poor Johnny Depp.
A little promo.
That's Edward Scissorhands.
But what a delight for the riders of the Pirates. Because they said they shut down the ride for a while. And, you know, they're always randomly shutting stuff down to fix or tweak. So they had to take Robot Johnny out and put real Johnny in. And that had to be pretty fun for the guests.
What did they get rid of there? They got rid of the guy who was chasing the women.
Yeah. Now a woman chases a guy around, right?
Well, that was the joke.
No, joke was there was a guy who chased the comely lass around, and then there was the fat chick who was chasing the other guy.
Is that not there anymore?
I think they're relevant.
I think they both are gone for the same reason, right?
So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They transitioned at a certain point, literally. Oh, it became
right. Yeah. Now, that was sort of back to... I remember seeing that when I was 9, and you got it. Like, it was funny. It's like the Woody Woodpecker cartoons were that way, too. Like, it's like...
It was a 3-panel cartoon strip in animatronic form.
Right. So, Look, here's the message. Don't get fat. You won't have to chase dudes. All right.
But you know what part of
it
that
was just funny when I was nine. Yeah. I thought my sister thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. My dad thought it was funny. It's like, I just thought it was funny. Like,
harmless.
We didn't breathe. We didn't do a whole lot of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Kim K was out to dinner at La Scala in Los Angeles. So, meaning good she knows salad. This part where people go to places where they clearly know there's going to be paparazzi and then don't want to be photographed and then dress like that and then go there. That is not the actions of somebody who's embraced the teachings of Gandhi.
Turning the corner on the materialistic lifestyle.
Let's get into an outfit I can't breathe in and go out to eat. And let's make sure we go to the place that has all the photographers. This is insane, right?
It doesn't match the actions.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, tough guy actor Tom Hardy made real life look like a movie on Monday when he chased down a thief through the streets of London and made a citizen's arrest. The action star was walking down the street when he witnessed two teens crash a stolen moped into a parked car. One of the thieves was really hurt, but the other one took off running. That's when bystanders say Hardy sprinted after him and chased him through gardens and over walls before finally tackling him. The Mad Max star grabbed the kid by his neck, patted him down for concealed weapons, and held him until the police arrived.
We're looking at a picture of him. I don't know. He's got a backpack. He's got a water jug. He's got a vape pen out. He's got a bunch of lanyards and stuff hanging around his neck. Mm-hmm. Is this from a movie?
It
or
looks
is this
like he's
him
on
just
set of a war movie. I don't believe he actually is tattooed like that in real life.
Well, he looks like a hipster Boy Scout.
There's something. We got to figure out where this picture's from because he's all tatted up. He's all jacked up. He looks in a weird way. He looks like he's trekking through Yosemite. But on the other hand, he's carrying his juice in his vape pipe. So that's probably not from the movie, but maybe
like
he's doing a movie.
Between takes on like an Iraq war movie.
Got to figure out where that picture's from, Max Ben.
Perhaps Google. I have no idea. But perhaps Google knew black because that's what it says around his
lanyard.
Yeah,
tried that.
He's heading into La Scala.
Yeah. He's going to the same chopped salad as Kim Kardashian.
Chopped salad, yeah.
You saw Mad Max, right? The new one?
Oh, yes. So good.
Not enough is made about how much better that was than the old Mad Max trilogy. Like, those were of varying degrees of quality. This is a tremendous movie. It almost didn't belong in the whole
right.
Oof. Well, the last one's got so 80'd out.
Yeah, Thunderdome.
Yeah, I mean, it just got so crazily 80'd out. And Tina Turner is one of my least favorite because somebody decided in 1986 she was the sexiest woman on the planet. And she had the best legs on the planet and she could act and she could do anything.
Couldn't get enough Tina.
And I had enough Tina. I'd had an ass full of Tina like very, very, very early with Ike. Yeah. So
two men enter, one man leave.
So we get it can't turn very 80. I love the new one too. I felt it was a little light on story. Like I wanted a little more story, like some sort of closure or story or whatever, but it was still fun to watch. And it was really not that you shouldn't use this to judge a film. I thought it was incredibly innovative and interesting in terms of the art direction, the sets, the props, the cars,
effects.
The trucks, the effect, the practical effects and all that kind of stuff, which is we sometimes ignore because we'll go, yeah, but the script wasn't that good. But it's like, well, somebody wrote that. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to come up with these guys on the top of these fishing poles
and flaming guitar
bouncing down. And like, that didn't just come with the truck. Like, somebody had to do the guitar guy. Like, somebody had to write that. Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, but the script. And you go, yeah, but,
yeah, but
whoever
wrote
the script wrote
everything.
He wrote that. Yeah. Or
not
she wrote
dialogue.
That, or they wrote that too. All right.
That movie stuck with me in a disturbing way that I couldn't shake, like Dark Knight did.
Oh,
it stuck with me for days after I saw it, and I think that's a
I didn't stick with me because it didn't do anything. Like, there wasn't any moral or anything, but it was just fun.
Those
it was
images,
fun to watch.
Though, those, like you said, the dudes on the poles, the terror of that really stuck with me for a while.
Right.
Well, speaking of terror, a new study has found that most vegetarians and vegans go back to eating meat. The study by the Humane Research Council found that a whopping 84% of non-meat eaters go back to their carnivorous ways. More than half of those went back to eating meat within the first year. And I actually stopped eating meat 1993 on Earth Day, a young Gina grad vowed. And I was a vegetarian for 10 years, didn't know what I was doing. And I've been making up for it ever since. I still don't eat beef because I lost my taste for it. But it wasn't a great way to live for me.
It seems in life, I mean, I wish that more people just sort of adopt a more sensible and maybe less decisive acting way of life where you can just go, you know, I choose not to eat a bunch of pie and candy and stuff. But hey, on occasion, why not? You know, or you go, I don't like the idea of killing cows and eating them. But hey, if I'm at a barbecue and someone's making ribs, I'll eat a rib.
Kill that cow.
Yeah, that's already dead and they already bought the ribs. Right. Like, now I'm angry. Everything doesn't have to be a statement. Do you know what I mean? We came up with the title vegetarian, and then people like throwing that card out and Trump. I don't need to know about now
as a badge or a lifestyle as opposed to a cuisine.
We're doing it with our sexuality now, where it's like you have to explain that you're bi-curious to me when you're sitting next to me on the BART for the next stop and a half. I don't need to know that. I don't need to know about you, what you eat, who's chode you smoke, whatever it is you do. That's just stuff we used to file it under personal, and that'd be that. And the reason it was personal is not because it was embarrassing. It's because no one else wanted to know.
Yeah, it's private.
We just whatever it is, your religion, your group, your whatever your affiliations were, some oftentimes political stuff, whatever it is. It was just, hey, that was you. If you had a kid who had any number of syndromes and or was dyslexic or whatever it is, that was just kind of a family thing. You guys would talk or between the doctor or your clergy or your counselors or whatever.
They had the decency to hide that away at the home.
You didn't need to sit next to you. I was like, I'll talk to women and dudes and they're like, hey, I have a service dog. And you're just sitting next to them. I was like, I need it. I have social anxiety. It's like, okay, but dude, you're 44. We're on a Southwest flight. How much of this do we need to get into? There was a time when you played a little closer to the vest, I guess when we wore vests, and now we'll only wear vests if there's no shirt on underneath it, but I kind of miss those days. I don't need to know. I feel like there's a lot of vegetarians who are vegetarian because they want to make the proclamation that they're vegetarian, and they need to wave it into these situations like, hey, if you're going for sandwiches, you need to know. Like, all right, how about you pack your own lunch and shut up? How about that?
I need to hear every podcast host saying,
I'm buying, I'm crazy.
Like, that's your business.
That's your business.
Yourself.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are doing it, and there's going to be more and more. There's, you know, whatever your heritage is, ethnicity, whatever religion, whatever your food, everything's going to be this declaration of here's who I am. Right. I got bad news for everybody, and especially the viewers of Wawa Wovesy. You are never ever going to set yourself apart from other people by making tons of declarations and or by getting tattoos. You'll not try as you might. I know it'd be great. We could all just go down, give some guy $400, get a tattoo, and then set ourselves apart from the rest of the lambs that were in society. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter what you do with your hair. It doesn't matter what proclamations you make. Only your actions ultimately will set you apart. This is like, it might be good for where'd you get the tattoo or what is that or what's that?
Yeah,
what's
conversation starter.
Tribal symbol,
right,
I mean.
But you'll never fully set yourself apart. That'll be done through your actions. Now, you guys, you're too talentless and too lazy to go that route, so you're going to go this route. You're going to affiliate yourself with, again, hey, I'm Chicano American. I'm Latina. I'm going to join a march of Latina women. I'm in the black movement. I'm going to join the black. I'm an atheist. Me and Penn and Teller. We're going down Penn Jillette. We're going down to the mayor's office. Like, okay, great. What's that do for you? And historically, how's it working out? Is it working? How's it going? Is it going great? Hey, everyone who just looks at themselves as, hey, I'm an African-American. I'm African. I'm going back to Africa. I'm going to don the dashiki and the amber beads, and that's my thing. Good. Have fun. Does it ever work? Does it ever work? Does it ever work? Because we've been doing it nonstop for 40 years. My feeling is it doesn't work. So if you'd like to have some success, and I think basically what everyone's looking for is a little extra scratch, maybe a little upgrade in the car department, maybe a little better neighborhood, maybe whatever you're looking, maybe a little more vacation, travel, whatever you're looking for out of life. I would suggest saving yourself a trip down to the tattoo parlor and saving yourself a trip down to the town square to write something that nobody cares about on a piece of cardboard and getting some sort of chant about the LAPD or whatever it is you're planning on doing. And put that energy into work. That's just me. I feel like you will be more successful if that's what you do. Or you can just do another chant, light another candle, make another march, go down to Berkeley, throw something through a window, just go do something. And you call me in a few years, tell me how it's going. Just tell me how it's working out. You tell me if all your extra energy being channeled into that, you tell me how it's working out for you. All right. I don't know how I even got started on that. Oh, vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tired of it.
Give me a number. What are the percentage chances that Sonny and or Natalia get a tattoo in their life? I think Sonny's close to zero because it hurts.
Yeah,
it hurts. He wouldn't do it. He's already in with me. And that when we watch UFC, we root for the guy with either no or the least tattoos. And then if you're betting, always bet on the guy with no tattoos. Because
really?
That's a guy who just goes, I kick ass.
Yeah.
I don't need this tribal whatever all over me to let people know I kick ass. I just kick ass.
Yeah, but one late girls' night with Cammy and Italia and Cammy getting those friendship tattoos on her ankles.
That could definitely happen. But I just feel like the dude who goes in the octagon with zero tattoos, that's just a dude who goes, I'm a badass.
I don't got time to get tattoos. I'm too busy kicking ass.
Yeah.
Too busy
training. By the way, I don't need to portray a guy who kicks ass. Right. I am a guy. I'm not doing a Tom Hardy movie where I'm playing a guy who kicks ass. I am a guy who kicks ass. Also,
he's playing me.
I like the guys who do it a little more like it's a sport, which is, I don't even look at it as kicking ass or hurting anyone or being a menace or a bully. This is a sport. Unfortunately, the sport involves me putting my shin across your orbital socket, but that's the sport. I'm just going to dominate at that sport.
Yeah, you're not a bar brawler.
That's the same way you don't see golfers or tennis players or anything tattooed up and badass and mohawked or anything because it's just a sport.
Tom Hardy did play a guy who kicked ass in Warrior. Remember, he was like an ultimate fighter.
That was one of his first big movies,
him,
right?
Joel Edgerton and Nick Nolte.
That's right.
I believe that was them.
All right, let's bring it home. Do we
you
bring it
got
home?
It. We'll do it right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Don't get fat. You won't have to chase dudes. Gina Grad.
That was the
good
news
luck catching
with
him,
Gina Grad.
He was leaving the gym in that photo. So he was.
That's him.
He does have
He's
those
not in
tats.
Character. Yeah.
He has those tats, Brian.
Really?
He's swole.
There is a chance that he could be doing a movie. I'd like to talk to somebody because. These tats,
they have those semi-permanent ink that lasts for, you know, a month or something.
Henna.
Like that.
These guys are getting.
I assume it's the same.
These guys getting all tatted up for these movies now, and I don't know whether what the protocol is. Like, hey, don't shower for a month, mm-hmm. or just rinse yourself off, but don't get the soap out. Or hey, let's shoot all the scenes with you
real quick.
Like, what do you do? Or we're just going to recreate it every morning? Or
aren't they like with Angelina Jolie because she has some huge tats like on her back? Don't they digitally take those out?
I think some makeup, some digital, depending on the scope.
I guess so. I'd be curious. Max Battle.
They don't do it to The Rock. His tattoos are always the same.
Well, that's probably in his rider.
Look at him. Just at the tip of his tongue, a Rock reference all the time. Let's go to Cabbage, man.
All the time.
And never. Ugh. Don't you hate those people who do this one? God, do you ever stop talking about The Rock? It's like he's brought it up twice in 4 years.
Every time you open your mouth, it's something about The Rock.
That's a hot chick move, Gina. All right. Wondering how to get funding for a small business? Cabbage, man, helps small businesses owners get flexible funding right away without the headaches of a traditional loan. You can apply online, do it from your phone, whatever you want. No waiting in line, scanning documents, or tracking down financial statements. And you only pay for the funds that you actually use. So it's supported. Cabbage has supported 100,000 plus small businesses, $2.9 billion in funding. Visit cabbage.com/Adam. There's no cost to apply. And as a Adam Carolla Show listener, when you qualify for funding, you'll get a $100 Visa gift card just like that. Cabbage, cabbage.com/Adam. Do that for me. And let's not forget about our good friends over at Geico, man. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So next time you got your to-do list and you got stuff to do, why don't you mosey over to the computer, pop that thing on, go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes, answer a couple questions, and let's see if we can save you some serious bucks. That is Geico, geico.com. Oh, right. Let's see. Oh, Reasonable Doubt. We're doing a town hall at 10E. That's Garrigus's restaurant. Cool place. Fun place. That's July 20th. You can get tickets at AdamCarolla.com. Come out and see me and Garrigus do a town hall over there. Also, No Safe Spaces. Me and Prager. Ah, oh, down to number 2 on the Billboard comedy charts. Our
it's over.
Number 3 on iTunes. So go check that out.
It's number good, 2.
It's good 100 minutes of me and Prager trying to steal a little sense into these folks. I agree with me. It's the limited t-shirt at AdamCarolla.com. And next week, oh, Norman Lear, Haley Joel Osment, and Alec Baldwin as well, everybody. Look out, world. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Check out, say hi to Lynette over there at Carolla Drinks. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad, Bald Brian. Oh, and Sean Gunn saying mahalo. Mom, don't do the laundry when I'm potty.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Gina Grad, weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And for tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November, go to AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.